You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg and Sue Balcom because it's time for Main Street Eats.
Sue Balcom joins us once a week from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm, to talk about food. And Sue, we're going to talk about a topic that gets brought up a lot on Main Street Eats, the cookbook and Netflix series Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Well, Ashley, I figured it was time that we clarified the title because every time we do bring it up, we're like, is it fire, salt, acid, what, you know? So I thought, let's just talk about it because I would highly recommend this little series for people that want to learn a little bit about very basic ways to make their food taste better. And that is the use of salt, fat, acid, and heat. And the Netflix series is called the same. Have you seen it?
I have. She's very interesting. Sameen Nosrat is the producer and the host of the show, and she really knows her stuff.
Oh my gosh, not only that, but the look on her face when she's eating food is one of such deep pleasure. That's part of the fascination with that, is that she makes no bones about it. She loves to eat. And she loves to eat with bunches of people. And she always cooks with family kind of in mind, like everybody's involved in the process. She is a teacher, so she does teach cooking. She wrote this book, which, oh, you guys, you know, I talked about the Cosmic Kitchen and it was like, oh, do I need both of these? And so I picked the Cosmic Kitchen based on a review on Amazon. But when I looked at her cookbook, it has like handwritten things in it and beautiful illustrations that her friend did. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, next time when I have an extra $30, I'm definitely going to invest in that. I mean, I have to leave a legacy for my kids, right? So I'm going to leave my cookbooks because there ain't going to be nothing else.
Well, let's start with that first one, salt.
Who doesn't love salt? Unless you have high blood pressure, then you kind of have to give that up.
Yeah,
it's kind of bad. But there's so many different kinds of salt. And salt is something that I think you naturally realize brings out the flavor of food. However, what most people don't know is that there's various times to salt food. And that is very important. And one of the things, I actually knew a guy who owned a business, and he would take people out for lunch for part of an interview. If they salted their food before they tasted it, he wouldn't hire them.
Whoa.
I mean, that might be extreme, but I watch people in restaurants just douse their food, and I'm thinking, taste it first. You know, it's very important.
In a lot of restaurants, upscale restaurants in particular, you won't find salt or pepper on the table.
And that's a good thing. And ketchup, too. Oh, my gosh. When I cook for people and the first thing they do is douse it with ketchup, I am deeply offended. I don't like ketchup in the first place. I eat mustard on my hot dogs and mostly mustard or aioli on my hamburgers when I eat them. But salt has a greater impact on your food than any other ingredient. And so part of like when you're cooking meat, and she, I don't know if you saw the salt segment, Doug, but you'll notice that she bought meat, brought it home, and the first thing she did was cover it with salt. And we tried that on some of our grass-fed steaks, and they did not turn out salty like you would expect, but that was like the best steak I think I've ever eaten. It was amazing what that salt did for that meat before we cooked it.
So what is
I believe
it doing?
It tenderizes. I believe that's the, you know, salt is a preservative. Like you would salt meat to keep it over the winter, or you would, you know, like a smoked ham. That's basically the hock of the sow that's put in a barrel of very salty water. In fact, the water is so salty that you can float an egg or a potato in it. Then you know you have enough salt. Then that's taken out and smoked. So that tenderizes that meat, and then it also helps to preserve it. So it affects the texture of just about anything that you put salt on. And one of the other things she did, which I found really fascinating, was she talked about how much salt you should use in your pasta water. You know, so rather than salt that after you cook it and mix it with your sauce, you actually put salt to the taste of seawater in the pasta water before you cook it.
And you mentioned the different kinds of salt, and of course they can be different colors. Is it Himalayan pink and all of that stuff? But there are different textures of salt, too. There's very fine salt, there's kosher salt. And this morning I was reading a recipe for a chocolate mousse that was topped with flaky salt.
Love flaky salt.
Oh, so do I. The only bad thing is my husband's like, why doesn't the salt come out of the shaker anymore? You know, because... because it's not meant to. That's why people have salt cellars. You've heard of salt cellars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Used to be when you did some fine dining, you would get an individual little pot of salt that would be set next to your place setting and a little tiny spoon in, and you could salt your food as you wish. I love the like black lava salt, and there's different kinds of sea salt. I think we actually talked about some of the various kinds of salt. And then there was like rock salt as a kid. You remember what that was used for, don't you?
Ice cream.
Yep. Ice cream. Yay. It must be getting time for them cows to freshen up. Time for homemade ice cream. Oh, wait, don't get sidetracked.
Well, salt. Homemade ice cream gets us to the other part of this, which is fat.
Oh,
salt,
hey,
now fat.
Great segue. I love it. And I believe in fats. I mean, I totally banned margarine after I moved out of my mom's house. We never ate the stuff. And I know she bought it because I think it was good for cooking. You know, she used it for cooking, baking cookies, and it was less expensive. But I remember as a kid getting margarine, and then it had a little packet of color in it.
Yes.
Like a little, you know, and then you mix that in and it was supposed to look more like butter. Because margarine, you know, is basically one molecule away from axle grease.
I remember that, sure. Too, because I was a Minnesota boy, and that was a dairy industry issue. They didn't want margarine to look like butter. So I think that's why they had to add the coloring packet so that you could make it look like butter later.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. That makes sense now. But of course, I think the kind of margarine that my mom used, I can't even find it at the market. But I totally, like when I got married and JC wanted bread, and I'm like, okay, I'll bake bread, but you're not putting margarine on it. Well, I don't like hard butter. I said, I don't care. You're not putting margarine on my homemade bread. I mean, that is like the law. And so now we are actually, we have a butter bell, and it keeps it nice and soft. And so it's always spreadable. But I go through, I have no less than 8 pounds of butter in my freezer at one time, because butter makes pastry flaky. Lard makes pastry flaky. I also have lots of that in my house. Fats determine the texture and the creaminess or crispness or lightness of a lot of dishes. This gal was talking about fat, she was also talking about the importance of fat marbled in your meat.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. You don't want such lean hamburger either that it's dry when you cook it.
Right.
You know, you've got to have a little bit of fat in your meat to make it really, really good.
Well, beef prime is well marbled. I know that. And I've watched chefs work with buffalo meat, which is a lot leaner, and they always add some fat when they're cooking that.
True. And actually, when you're making beef sausage, you add pork to it, because pork is a little fattier than beef, because otherwise it's just so dry. But I see these visions in my head of my dad. He would cut that crispy fat. You know, when you grill steak, that fat around the outside of your steak gets all crispy, and he'll just suck that down. And I'm like, I can't do that. I'm sorry. Oh, shoot. But I like fats. I and you know, and I we use full fat milk in our house, which is whole milk. They call it full fat milk on the British baking show, and I just love the way that sounds, because 2% or skim milk is really basically water. And back in the day when they milked cows, and every farm that I knew, every one of my relatives milked cows, and they would skim that cream off of there, and the skim milk was fed to the animals. It wasn't even used for human consumption. We always had full fat milk in our house. And it's really, really important that you eat some fats, healthy fats, because your brain runs on fat, you know? And so when your kids are little, they should be drinking and eating some milk fats, and other, like avocado is a good fat. And I love avocados. We eat them in, you know, like when I make tortilla soup, there's nothing better than cutting up an avocado and tossing it in there. Ugh, that's the best part. Yay. So yes, fat is very, very important.
Yeah, the good, well-rounded sort of flavor. But then acid kind of balances this all, right?
Oh, yeah, baby. All and I flavor. Never, yep, never not have organic lemons or limes in my refrigerator, because I use them for everything, not just water in a glass. You've got to have lemons for all kinds of things. Meyer lemons in particular, if you're going to make pie, because those are a little sweeter and thinner skinned than other lemons. But when I make gravy, so you've got a chicken cooking and you've got all those drippings in the bottom of the pan and a lot of fat from the chicken. So you want to skim a lot of that fat off of there, simmer that down and thicken it. And right before you serve it, give it a great big squeeze of lemon juice. And that's what balances the fat in your gravy. And I got world famous gravy at my house, and lots of people talk about my gravy all the time. And I think it's that little bit of lemon that you put in there.
And I see that all the time on cooking shows, where chefs are, you know, squeezing a little bit of acid onto the food just before they serve it, or for that matter, cooking with it, obviously. But there's that balance thing that Ashley mentioned, that acid is a part of the preparation process that makes food taste better.
That, and then, of course, you know, like with your salads, one of my favorite salads is crushed garlic, salt, a little mustard, and then you kind of whisk that into some olive oil, and you coat your greens with that, and then you can squeeze lemon juice or use balsamic vinegar over it right before you serve it. And that is just, I mean, it's very healthy, and it's just so stinking good for you. And then, of course, I have mean daughter that always fed her little girl lemon. You know, they give their little kids a lemon just to see the faces they make when they're at restaurants. I'm like, that's not very nice. Although... You can eat lemon, you know, like I don't mind eating a little bit of lemon when we're out cruising town and you get that little slice in your glass of water. And then, of course, limes are the same way. I would give anything to have a lemon tree in my backyard.
Let's talk about the last part of this culinary equation, and that is heat, from slow to, you know, roasting and broiling and frying, the different ways we transform our food by the way we heat it up.
Right. And I never understood these people I knew a woman who was totally into raw foods. Like, she was teaching people how to eat raw foods because that's the way the cavemen did. And that's the way we should, because we're descendants of cavemen. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. I like cooking. And I like heat, and there's all different ways to take food from raw to cook. And sometimes you, you know, that changes the texture of lots and lots of things. And of course, you always have to make a decision about how long you're going to cook something or how hot you're going to cook something. You know, and we've talked about pizza ovens before. One of the reasons why pizza is so stinking good when you go to a place that has a stone oven is because the temperature in there is closer to 700 degrees as opposed to your oven, which you can only get to 500 if you're lucky.
Well, Ashley would know that because she has a pizza oven.
I do.
And what?
And it's wonderful.
And what do I have to do to get one?
Oh, well, you hire someone to make it, or marry, be like me and marry someone who can make one.
So, but even like with roasting too, you know, like a lot of times I think my mother never set the oven over 350 degrees.
Oh no.
That was like typical. Everything was 350 degrees. But the high temperature does wonders for roasting, you know, like whether it's a standing rib roast, a prime rib roast, or a chicken or a turkey. I always put those in the oven at like 425 or 450 and use my convected oven at least for the first 20 minutes. That kind of gets that kind of like seals the edges of your roast. It also seals the skin of the chicken, and it keeps moisture in, you know, and people are always afraid to kind of overcook that stuff, but that's why you use a meat thermometer so that you can use higher temperature and convection, and then you can cook your meat to the right temperature. But yeah, I've been using a lot more high heat. In fact, I got rid of one of my ovens because I couldn't get it to stay at 500 degrees. It automatically reduced the heat when I used the convection part of it, which irritated me because I'm thinking, you think I'm not smart enough to know whether I want it 500 degrees or 475? So got rid of that thing right there. And I still, when I do chickens, turkeys, all that kind of stuff, they start in the oven at a really high temperature because it's very good. And you have to, like she says, you have to taste as you go along. And you develop some instincts about these things, you know, whether it's how long to marinate something, how long to cook something, you know, there are, and some things are, you know, forgivable, but meat is one of those things that, like, my kids will say, how come your white chicken meat is so moist and tender? And I'm like, because I don't overcook it, A, and B, because I use 450 degrees in my oven.
All right. Well, that's salt, fat, acid, and heat. And Sue Balcom, we check in with you every week for Main Street Eats. Bon Appetit.
Thank you, guys.